I'd like you to turn with me, please, this evening to the book of Psalms. We continue with our theme of this Bible conference, Down at the Feet of Jesus. We turn to Psalm 22. Psalm 22. Begin our reading at the opening verse. my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me, from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. And in the night season, and I am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, He trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths, as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. But be not thou far from me, O Lord. O my strength, haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth. For thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorn. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Amen. We'll end our reading at verse 22. Praying earnestly that the Lord will speak to us from this portion of Scripture, and it will instruct us this evening in the Lord Jesus Christ and draw us nearer to him, even bring us tonight to the feet of Jesus. Before we consider the Lord's word to our hearts, let us unite once again in the word of prayer. Let us pray. Most loving God and eternal Father, we bow humbly in thy holy presence this evening hour. Even, Lord, the words we've been singing and the words we have just read, how they humble us. And, Lord, they humble us in the light of what we see by faith there in Golgotha's brow. When we see the one who was lifted up to die, it is finished, was his cry. Now in heaven exalted high, we're glad we can say tonight, hallelujah, what a Savior. And Lord, as we come to speak of him tonight, Lord, thou knowest, thou, Lord, knowest how much I need thee. For we feel so inadequate. And so, Lord, I ask tonight again for the power of the Holy Spirit of God. That, Lord, thou will come and fill me with that power tonight. And grant to me, Lord, that unction that only the third person of the Trinity can bestow upon me. Help me, Lord, then to preach the word in all sincerity. And in preaching the word, Lord, help me to preach Christ. And always, always to make much of his precious blood. I ask, Lord, all these things in thy name and for thy glory alone. Amen. Down at the feet of Jesus is where, through the word, we have spent time this past week. We want to go there again tonight through the words of the psalmist. In the Treasury of David, a commentary on the Psalms, Charles Haddon Spurgeon declares this psalm to be the psalm of the cross. The title of the psalm may be a psalm of David, but the words are the words of the suffering Savior. And through this psalm, we join those whom we read about in the book of, in the Gospel of Matthew 27 and verse 36, when they came to the cross, we're told, sitting down, they watched him there. I trust that by faith tonight we will take our place with them. Yes, they looked and they listened. And we may do likewise tonight. As David draws back the veil, and the first words we hear wrung from the parched lips of the Savior are those in the opening verse, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? These words represent the fourth saying from the Savior on the cross, Matthew 27, verse 46. And as the scene is brought to a close by the psalmist, another cry is heard. For there in verse 31, we read the words, that he hath done this. These words may be translated, it is finished. Once again, another cry from the cross that came from the lips of the Savior. It is finished. And so there in this psalm of the cross, we not only listen to the sayings of the cross, But we're told about the scoffers at the cross. The Lord mentions them in verses 6, 7, and 8. But I am a worm. Remember, these are the words of the Son of God and God the Son. And yet here he likens himself unto a humble worm. It's interesting that he said those words. Because in Bible times a certain worm was dug up from the ground and it was crushed. And the blood that came from that worm was used to dye clothes, and those clothes were dyed crimson red. And how the Lord Jesus Christ was crushed on Calvary. And crimson blood flowed from his veins. And there he says, I am a worm and no man. Reminding us of what the soldiers of Herod did. We're told they set him at naught. At naught. He's nobody. As far as those soldiers were concerned, Christ was a nobody. I am a worm and no man. The Savior said, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. We find those words in Matthew 27, verse 43. The scoffers at the cross. Then as we are watching him there, he reveals to us his feelings. His feelings of his solitude at the cross. You look there at the verse 2. Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. And in the night season, and I'm not silent. There's a solitude. Verse 11. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. And those words may be rendered, there is not a helper. Not a helper. Verse 19, be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength, haste to help me. None of us like to be alone, especially in the hour of trouble, in our time of sorrow. We like the company of others, and the Lord Jesus is no different. As we pointed out and labored the point during the week, he's not only God, but he is man. But we have to say that no son of Adam, no son of Adam ever experienced the solitude and the loneliness that Christ endured on Calvary. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Paul used the same word. He used the same word in 2 Timothy 4, verse 16. At my first answer, no man stood with me. All men forsook me. The word forsaken or forsook means abandoned. Paul was abandoned. Yea, Paul was abandoned of men. But Christ was abandoned by God. Nobody ever suffered the loneliness in the solitude that Christ suffered. For there at Calvary he was abandoned by family, by followers. He was abandoned by his Father. As well as seeing his solitude and hearing his sayings and listening or beholding those who scoffed him, we behold also the secrets of the cross. For you see, we learn from this psalm of the Savior, this psalm of the cross, things which are hidden from us in the Gospels. For the Lord reveals to us his own personal sufferings, how he felt, his own testimony as to how he felt as he hung there on the cross, that we don't read in the Gospels. As we said, David, through this, in writing this psalm, drew back the veil. And here's the Lord, as it were, opening up his heart. And he's telling us how he felt personally. And what he suffered physically and what he suffered personally there as he hung on the cross. Look at verse 14. I am poured out like wax or like water. All my bones. Note the number of times you have the word my. My bones, my heart, my bowels, verse 15. My strength, my tongue, my jaws. Then the verse 16, my hands, my feet, verse 17, my bones, verse 18, my garments, my vesture, verse 20, my soul, my darling, my brethren. It's all personal, isn't it? And here's the Lord, and he is telling us how he felt personally. He really opens up through the words of this psalm and tells us how he suffered, not only physically, but really personally. My hands, my feet. That's where we come to again tonight, to the feet of Christ. Through this psalm, we find ourselves once more down at the feet of Jesus. And so let us this night, reverently, cautiously, let us draw near to that cross and observe what was done to the feet of the one who is the darling of our souls. Because we read in verse 16, the Lord said, for dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me, they pierced my hands and my feet. My feet. My feet. Let us get down tonight to the feet of Jesus. The Lord there in that verse 16 says, they pierced my hands and my feet. Who was he referring to? That's where we begin our study tonight. He was referring to the pursuers of Christ. Here in this verse, the Savior says, "The dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me." They did it as his pursuers. And here he describes for us his hunters. His hunters, those who had hunted him. In the title of this psalm, we have the words to the chief musician upon Adullam Shahar, a psalm of David. Adullam Shahar. Those words mean the hind of the morning. Adullam Shahar, the hind of the morning. Christ is the hind of the morning, the little deer. The young deer is called the hind. Christ is the hind of the morning. And we're told in that verse 16, "For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me." There you have his hunters. These howling, hungry, unclean dogs have hunted the hind of the morning. They have pursued and hunted him from his birth. And now, 30 years later, they have surrounded him in a never narrowing ring of malice and madness with murderous intent. And the hinds of the morning stands there in their midst. And around him are the enraged, unpitying wretches who have hounded him to his death. Here is the hind of the morning, hunted by bloodhounds, all closing in on their prey, all thirsting to devour him. There's the Pharisee hound. There's the Sadducee hound. There's the high priest hound. There's the Roman hound. There are the Jewish hounds. And you look at this psalm and you read about dogs and you read about roaring lions. And they all unite together. You wouldn't find that in normal circumstances. Why? The dog would, or the lion would devour the dog. But what do we find here in the words of our Savior? They all unite together. They forget about their differences. They have one goal. They have one prey. And these hounds of hell are after the hind of the morning. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed him. And you can hear them howling. Can you hear them howling? Crucify him. Crucify him. Crucify him. Crucify him. Crucify the hind of the morning. Crucify the Lord Jesus Christ. And in crucifying him, what did they do? He tells us, "They pierced my hands and my feet." They didn't tie him to the cross. They nailed him to the cross. Fastened him there as a nail in a sure place. And so Christ was fastened there to the cross of Calvary, with nails piercing his hands and his feet. The hunters, the hounds of hell, have at last claimed their prey. You have his hunters. When you think of Christ being a hind of the morning, we see his harmlessness. The Savior is appropriately referred to as the hind or a young deer. And this animal is such a harmless creature, it poses no threat to anyone. You consider the other animals mentioned there in this psalm. In verse 12, many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan. Verse 13, a ravening and a roaring lion. Verse 16, the dogs have compassed me. Verse 21, save me from the lion's mouth. He described all of his pursuers in this way, all running together in pursuit of a harmless hind. And if you want to see the personification of harmlessness, you have only to look to Jesus Christ. Was there ever an individual who walked upon the face of this earth who was as harmless as Jesus Christ? There never was. He's described as one who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, higher than the heavens. The word harmless, he's holy, harmless, undefiled. The word harmless means void of evil. It also means innocent. It also means simple. It also means guileless. Harmless gives a perfect description of the character of the hind of the morning, the Lord Jesus Christ. He was harmless in his words, harmless in his ways, harmless in his walk, harmless in all of his work. Forever those feet took him. Those feet went to help, never to harm. They went to heal, never to harm. Those feet went to places to bring hope, never to harm. For he is the harmless, harmless hind of the morning. No one, not even, not even his worst enemies, had to confess that he was harmless. Pilate said, I find no fault in him. It cannot be said about anybody else. I find no fault in him. As we said the other evening, your friends will overlook your faults, but your enemies won't. And yet the enemies of Christ examined him, and they examined him, and they examined him. Still, the result was the same. No fault in him. Judas Iscariot, that child of the devil, who sold him for 30 pieces of silver, said, I have betrayed the innocent blood. No fault in him. I have betrayed the innocent blood. Yet the hounds of hell hunted and hounded this innocent hind of the morning. Yea, the innocent, the guileless, the sinless, the pure, the holy Lamb of God, and nailed him to the cross, piercing his hands and his feet. So regarding our hind of the morning, we've seen his hunters. We've seen that he's harmless. And we see his humiliation. How those wild dogs humiliated Christ when they pierced his hands and his feet. He who is the hind of the morning is also the holy God of heaven. The one of whom it is written, Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. The mighty and majestic Christ has all things put under his feet. The prophet has declared, The Lord is slow to anger and great in power and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind, and in the storm and the clouds are the dust of his feet. Nahum 1 verse 3. There you have the sovereign and the supreme Christ. He has his way in the whirlwind, and in the storm, and the clouds are even the dust of his feet. And Paul also said that the Father hath put all things in subjection under his feet. Hebrews 2 and 8. There's the ruling and the regal Christ. And yet now we read that those same feet, those same feet have now been pierced. Those same feet have now been pierced along with those hands, and those feet are now fixed to a cruel tree. Oh, the humiliation! He who makes the very clouds of heaven the dust under his feet, those same feet are now pierced through. Talk about humiliation. What humiliation is this? What condescension when the sovereign's feet, when the feet of the Majesty on high, when the feet of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords have now been pierced through and nailed to the cross. That really ought to make us weep. When you think of that, that ought to really break our hearts. This holy, harmless hind of the morning, the great God of heaven, the one who inhabits eternity, condescends, comes down and down and down and down to be nailed by his hands and his feet to a cross. anyone who would lend a helping hand to those who committed such a dastardly crime should remember something. Should remember something. You should remember the hind is coming back again. The hind is coming back again. And he's coming back with 10,000 of his angels. And his feet this time shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. No, when he comes back, he'll not be nailed to the cross anymore. He'll be standing in triumph upon the Mount of Olives. And what then? What then? What then, Paul tells us? He must reign till he hath put all his enemies where? Under his feet. Now, where do you stand tonight? Because I want to tell you something. You're a sinner. And you know what you did? You held the hammer. Or held the nails. And helped drive them into the hands and the feet of Christ. That's what you're guilty of. Do you know that? You're as guilty as those Roman soldiers that committed that crime. So you should remember something. The hind one day will return. And he'll put all his enemies under those same feet that you helped to nail to the cross. It's time you sought his forgiveness. Do you not think so? Do you not think it's time you bowed your head, said, "Dear Lord Jesus, forgive me for what I've done. They pierced my hands, my feet." He's talking about you. We've considered the pursuers of Christ, then there is the piercing of Christ. The Savior here in our text describes what the assembly of the wicked did. What these mad dogs did to the Savior. He states, "They pierced my hands and my feet." And what a cold, callous, cruel crime this was. Because when we think of the hands and the feet of Christ, we think first of all of his service. How often during his years of earthly ministry were those healing hands laid on the sick? How often did those strong hands lift up the weak? How often did those loving hands help the needy? How often did those tender hands pick up little children and hold them to his bosom? And those who witnessed how he used his hands were astonished, saying, "From whence hath this man these things, and what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands?" Mark 6, verse 2. But now those same hands are now fixed to a cross. They pierce my hands and my feet. Likewise, those feet which took him to the sick bed, those feet which took him to the home of a dead child, those feet which took him by the pool of Bethesda, those feet which took him to the land of Gadara, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to transform lives. Those feet of which we are told in Acts 10 verse 38, he went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And oh, how those feet took him along those dusty roads to the borders of Tyre and Sidon, back again to Galilee, across over to Gadara, back again to Galilee. Those feet were ever, always on a mission of mercy. And every step he took with those feet, every step was a step of love, and a step of grace, and a step of mercy. Because the Lord helped and healed and raised up individuals that nobody else could do anything with. And then the Lord says, they pierce my hands and my feet. Men who hunted him, in spite of all that he did, they hunted him because they hated him. They hated him. They hated his words. They hated his works. They hated his ways. And that's why they pierced him. They pierced his hands and his feet, because they hated him. Now tell me, where do you stand tonight? Do you love Christ? When you read Psalm 22, are your eyes melted to tears? Or can you read Psalm 22 without one hint of emotion? Spurgeon said of Psalm 22, says when you read Psalm 22, you should do what Moses did. Put off the shoes from off your feet, because Spurgeon said when you read Psalm 22, you're standing on holy ground. Is that how you see it? Or is there no feeling in your heart at all? You can't really say you love the Lord, sure you can't. Well, then you must take your place with those who pierced his hands and his feet. His hands and his feet speak to us of his service and also of his surrender. Indeed, every step those feet took were steps of surrender. Surrender to his Father's will. For he said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish it. He again said, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And indeed it was his Father's will. that he should surrender himself to those who pierced his hands and his feet. And as he hung there with those nails through his hands and his feet, yes, I know, he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. No, I'd make a correction there. He didn't need 10,000 angels. He could have come down from the cross himself. But he didn't. He didn't. It wasn't so much the nails that fixed him to the tree. It was his love for me. That's what kept him there. His love for me. And dear Christian, his love for you. It was his Father's will that he should surrender himself to those wild dogs. Those hounds of hell that came hunting for him. For you remember when they came, he says, "This is your hour. And the power of darkness." Power of darkness. And while the powers of darkness may have been held back, the powers of darkness were unleashed against the dear Son of God, yea, against the hind of the morning. And we could say, all hell broke loose against the Christ. And he surrendered himself to the hands of those who had compassed him about in Gethsemane and had taken him to the cross and pierced his hands and his feet. You recall when they came into Gethsemane, those feet didn't run away. He said to the disciples, "Arise, let us go hence." He went to meet Judas. He went to meet the mob. He went to meet the hounds. He went to meet the wild dogs. He didn't run away. He gave himself. He surrendered himself to the powers of darkness, for the powers of darkness to do their worst against the Son of God, against our darling hind of the morning. And the unbridled powers of darkness were let loose against the dear Savior. And he was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Not a word of protest. Not a sigh of anger. He surrendered himself. And he surrendered to the nail piercing of his hands and his feet. And those feet took him up Calvary's mountain one dreadful morn. Walk Christ my Savior, weary and worn, facing for sinners death on the cross, that he might save them from endless loss. Say it. Say it. Blessed Redeemer. Blessed Redeemer. Precious Redeemer. Seems now I see him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding, blind and unheeding, dying for me. When they were come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him. And they did so by piercing his hands and his feet. The feet speak to us of his service and of his surrender and of his suffering. The word pierced. The word pierced, they pierced my hands and my feet, gives us a very vivid picture of the sufferings of the Hind of the Morning. For the meaning of these words, the meaning of these words is as follows. They did bite like a lion, my hands and my feet. They did bite like a lion, my hands and my feet. This is in keeping with the description given of those who hunted him and pursued him and eventually pierced him, verses 13 and 21. The lions are there. And they did bite him as a lion would bite him. And this suggests for us the activity, the ferocity with which the piercing of Christ's feet took place. The lions, as well as the dogs and the bulls of Bashan, have compassed him about. And these lions and others have come in contact with him. And they have done so in the only way that we could expect them. They pierced his flesh. They did bite him as a lion would. They did bite him as a dog would. They tore his flesh. And that's why we read his visage was marred more than any man's. After the dogs and the hounds and the lions were finished with him. And the marks of the wild beast claws. The marks of the claws and the bites of those lions and those hounds, you know something? They're still there. They're still there. And when we see him, when we see him, and we see those pierced hands, and we see those pierced feet. By and by, when I look on his face, His beautiful face. His wonderful face. By and by, when I look on his face, and I look on those hands, and I look on those feet, I'll wish I had given him more. Because then I will realize, as I've never realized before, what it cost the Holy One to take away my sin. The marks that the wild beast left are still there. Very quickly, we've seen the pursuers of Christ, the piercing of Christ, now the purpose of Christ. We look at what the ravening lions and the wild dogs did to the Savior and wonder, what was the purpose of it all? Oh, why was he there as the bearer of sin? If on Jesus thy guilt was not laid, oh, why from his side flowed the sin-cleansing blood? If his dying thy debt hath not paid, the answer is found in the wounds of Christ. The word pierced is elsewhere translated wounds. And the reference to his wounds gives us the answer to the question, why was he there? Why was his hands and his feet pierced through? Why was he nailed to that cross? Here's the answer. Listen. Here's the answer. He was wounded for our transgressions. There's the answer. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was on him. By his stripes we are healed. That's why. Wounded for me. There on the cross, he was wounded for me. Gone my transgressions. And now, hallelujah, I'm free. All because Jesus was wounded for me. They pierced my hands and my feet. And every Christian here tonight can say, it was for me. Yes, all for me. O love of God, so great, so free. O wondrous love, I'll shout and sing. He died for me. My Lord. My King. Bless his name. We're told what we ought to do. Verse 23 of the Psalm says, ye that fear the Lord, praise him. Ye seed of Jacob, glorify him. And fear him, all ye the seed of Israel. So as well as the wounds of Christ, that brings us to the worship of Christ. That's what we're told to do. Surely we don't need to be told. No. In light of what we have here and what the Lord himself has revealed to us in Psalm 22, we don't need to be told to praise him. We don't need to be told to glorify him. Our hearts would surely tell us that. And what else then can we do but worship him? Who would say to us tonight, because of you, as he would say to me, because of you, they pierced my hands and my feet. So let us come now and gather round those feet. Ought we not to anoint those feet with the ointment of our love? Ought we not to bathe those feet with the tears of our love? Ought we not to kiss those feet with the lips of our love? Ought we not to hold those feet in the hands of our love? Ought we not to fall down at those feet and worship him and tell him how much we love him? My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the pleasures of sin I resign. Could you say that? Can you say you love the Lord? Can you say, Lord Jesus, if ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. And I feel sorry for you if you can't say that. Because there is no love like the love of Jesus. After all, when we look upon those nail-pierced hands and feet, are we not reminded again, as we've already quoted the words, wounded for me. Wounded for me there on the cross, he was wounded for me. Gone my transgressions, and now I am free. All because Jesus was wounded for me. All because they pierced my hands and my feet. Praise the Lord. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. We'll give him all the glory. We'll give him all the glory. We'll give him all the glory. Why? Because he alone is worthy. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Just in the stillness of the meeting tonight, let us just reflect on what the Lord has told us tonight, what he has revealed to us. If the Lord has touched your heart tonight, then tell him, Lord Jesus, I love thee. and I thank thee for being wounded and shedding thy blood for me. Tell him now. And if in this meeting there are those sitting here and you don't know what we're talking about, you've never experienced experientially the love of Christ, you've never been to that place where they pierced his hands and his feet, you've never been to the cross, will you go there tonight? Will you? If you'd like to talk to us, whether Reverend McRae, whether Reverend McKee, or any of the elders, or any other minister here, would you stay behind and have a word with us? I'll pray that you fall in love with Christ tonight. Loving God, eternal Father, thank thee afresh for the dear Savior. How unworthy we are. Sinful, wretches, creatures of the dust. And yet the Savior says, I am a worm and no man. And there on the cross they pierced his hands and his feet. And the blood flowed. Lord, write the word upon hearts tonight. May we not soon forget thy word. May it draw us nearer to thy precious bleeding side. Nearer, still nearer. Lord, may we like that woman of the city. When she came and stood beside thee and behind thee and took those feet of thine in her hands and she would not let them go. May we do the same tonight. And kiss those feet and kiss them again and again and again and again. Say, Lord Jesus, I love thee. I love thee. I love thee. Lord, be with us. Return us to thy house on the Sabbath day. Reveal thyself to us then. Be with us now, Lord, as we part the one from the other. Keep thy hand upon us, Lord, until we meet again. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and until the day breaks. And the shadows all flee away. And we see the King with pierced hands and pierced feet. Praise his name. Amen.